vision. Your paradigm is about to shift at the intersection of fact and reason. You're entering Kingston Country.
I'm Dan Kingston, and you're listening to the Dan Kingston Podcast. All right, I have to ask you a really important question. Why is there still a shortage of masks and personal protective equipment? Well, the FDA regulations are preventing mask production. It's preventing the production of personal protective equipment. That's right. I answered my own question. It's the FDA regulations. That's the reason why there's a shortage of masks. You see, masks are regulated medical devices, and they require FDA approval. That process, the approval of masks and other personal protective equipment, can take months, and it can require a team of experts, and that's necessary to avoid substantial liability under the law. For instance, some of the things you have to do to get regulatory approval from the FDA to develop and sell a mask, you need to do a compositional side-by-side analysis of your mask versus all other masks that are currently being sold. You need to measure tensile strength and impact resistance. You need to perform a detailed risk analysis for fluid bacteria resistance and flammability. You need to complete the standard, yes, just the standard ISO 10993 form for biological evaluation of medical devices, part one, evaluation and testing. And once you complete all those guidelines, then you can submit your application for review. And that process will then take several months if you are approved. Now, most people, I don't know, did you know that? I didn't know that. Most people, they don't know that. And maybe you're listening out there, and before you just heard this, that it's the FDA regulations preventing mask production, maybe you thought it was a failure in the free market system. Maybe not you, but maybe your far leftist buddy did. And they're saying we need to nationalize industry and nationalize mask production because simply it's a free market collapse. For whatever reason, we can't provide toilet paper. We can't provide. I don't know what the issue is with the toilet paper. But in terms of personal protective equipment, masks, gloves, those kind of things, it is because of the regulation. If you were to remove that FDA regulation, I guarantee you, you'd have people submitting masks. And I'm not saying just let them submit, you know, plastic bags and call them masks. I mean, you need some kind of review process, but can it be expedited in a time of crisis? Do you really need to do a compositional side-by-side analysis of your mask versus all other masks? You really need to do the, fluid bacterial flammability test and the biological evaluation of medical devices, blah, 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 because it could cause a rash in someone's face. I mean, there's a balance, and I understand in normal times why you want every mask to be perfect. Right now, I wonder if it's like, you know, can you just make sure that it's not going to kill you and it's not coming from China, and if it's American made, and, can we waive some of the liability in order to get more masks being built? Because once you have the government in the business of creating masks, you have a huge problem. So what do you think? Are you surprised? Did you already know this, or is this new information to you? Do you have your own theory why there's a shortage of masks? And this doesn't explain the shortage of toilet paper. That's still got to be explained, although I did hear it's because toilet paper has always been on prepper lists, dating back years and years and years. People were thinking toilet paper would be a barter item in a time of crisis. You could use it to get really valuable stuff. So maybe that's a whole nother thing, and masks are going to become that. I mean, people are paying a lot of money on eBay, hundreds and hundreds of dollars just to get a few masks in the mail from eBay. And that's obvious, you know, price gouging. And I wouldn't recommend doing that because then you're kind of rewarding people that are price gouging when you do that. But, you know, we've been told now for months we didn't need to wear masks. It was not good for us to wear masks. We didn't know how to use them. They wouldn't protect us, and they just were not helpful, and we were selfish if we were to buy them because it's taken away resources from medical healthcare professionals. But, you know, it seems to me that if we were all wearing masks, and it doesn't have to all be N95 super-duper masks, but if we all wore something, then it would prevent the disease from spreading when people coughed, and it would limit the disease. and being told that we shouldn't wear masks sent a confusing message coming from experts and specialists that, you know, we're supposed to trust. They tell us, you know, just listen to the specialists. Don't listen to folks like me because I'm providing misinformation. But in fact, I was one of the first people to say, go out there and buy a mask. Take precautions. Protect yourself. Don't hoard. Don't hoard, but do prepare. And when I was given those warnings with Tim, a conspiracy theory expert who turned out to just be a theory expert, and others. Meanwhile, CNN was criticizing people like me for spreading misinformation and censoring people like me on Twitter, and the World Health Organization, you know, saying, you don't need to wear a mask. Don't worry about that. And people like Dan Kingston are giving false information. They need to be buried and replaced with official World Health Organization information that is actually misinformation because they're beholden to China and the World Health Organization. The leader of the World Health Organization is by all accounts corrupt, covered up disease in his home country of Ethiopia, covered up a cholera epidemic there. It might still be happening if nobody knows about it, and lives could have been saved if it wasn't for a cover-up. Oh, sounds like what happened over there in China, doesn't it? And now you have the World Health Organization, by all accounts, working hand-in-hand with China, covering up for China, making excuses for China, lavishing praise on China. So who do you trust? In a time like this, you need to rely on experts and specialists, but you can't because they're not relying on the truth. They're spreading fear. They're spreading misinformation, and not all of it's misinformation, but some of it is. And how can ordinary people pick through it and figure out what's important? Well, listen to me. I'm telling you what's important. You should wear a mask if you have one. It doesn't need to be an N95, but any mask will do. And that prevents, not only can it help you from getting sick, but most importantly, if everybody wore some kind of mask, it would prevent us all from getting sick. Because then if you cough or something like that, or someone coughs on you, they have a mask blocking off that cough. Okay. And in the future, it's going to be a law. I know you don't believe it. You don't see it. We're all going to have to wear masks. And unfortunately, that's going to be the case. Now, some people, are going to resist it. And do I think you're going to serve lifetime in jail for not wearing a mask? No, I think it's going to be somewhat similar to that stupid law where you can't hold an iPhone in your car while you're driving. But, you know, nobody ever gets caught for that, right? But it's going to be one of those laws on the books. You know, spitting in public is against the law in many states, many communities. And that dates back to the 1918, whatever it was, Spanish flu. When spitting could spread the disease, that's when spitting was outlawed. And that law is still on the books. And it looks like it's relevant 100 years later. Who would have thunk? Because the virus, the coronavirus, is spread through saliva. It also can be spread through droplets in the air. But there is a fear-mongering going on right now. There is an epidemic of fear where people are afraid to go outside. People are afraid to go to the grocery store. And by and large, while you should be concerned and try to stay 6 feet apart, it's true. Try not to cough on someone. If you see someone coughing, avoid them. But, you know, beyond that, I don't think you should live your life in fear. You know, if you went to the grocery store every day, maybe that was too much anyway. Maybe you should limit it to maybe every other day or a couple times a week or maybe once a week if you can plan that well. I certainly can't. I can't think more than really a day ahead sometimes. So I tend to be the daily grocery store shopper. That's why I know all their names over there, and they know me. And I've seen the kind of the fear develop in their eyes, right? Not all of them. Some of the younger workers are kind of like no big deal, but some of the older workers you see increasingly as I went in week after week, you know, first it was wearing gloves, then it was wearing a face mask, then, you know, really concerned and talk about plexiglass being built. And you feel for these people. At the same time, there's a story right now, and I got to get your opinion on this. Up to 200,000 workers of that grocery store app, Instacart, are threatening to strike on Monday. It's probably in the past when you happen to be listening to this podcast. I don't know, but Monday, the 30th of March, is when these Instacart workers are threatening to strike, up to 200,000 of them, because they're claiming, and not really unfairly, that they have not been supplied proper protections. So they're demanding hand sanitizer, disinfectant, soap, other safety equipment that's, you know, in short supply. We just talked about why there aren't enough, masks and other personal protective equipment that could be given out to people in the grocery stores and other people kind of on the front lines of this. But it's not completely unreasonable demands, you could say. But in a time of crisis, I would argue right now, this is a time of crisis, not unprecedented, but it is certainly something new, something strange. Probably the biggest national situation in my lifetime that I can remember. People have to go back to the Great Depression, but nobody remembers what that is and what that was like. And so it's hard to compare it to anything. So it's easy to say this is unprecedented. So let's just say it's unprecedented in our lifetimes. Crisis is not a time for the grocery store workers to go on strike. It's not heroic for them to go on strike, even if they should be given more protective equipment, even if they should be getting some more pay. Let's give that to them. But not because they're threatening to strike, and it shouldn't just be for the Instacart shopper, Instacart workers. It should be for all grocery store workers, and not just one company. Why they're threatening to strike during this time of crisis, when, you know, grandparents, older people really are relying on Instacart and other shopping delivery services to provide necessities, and going on strike, you know, I don't know. They could cause a lot of harm, a lot of hurt, for a couple extra bucks an hour, I guess a couple extra bucks an hour really adds up, doesn't it? And more important is that hand sanitizer, disinfectant, soap. But you don't see that. It's a limited supply everywhere, and there's a fear. There's a real fear that's being really unfairly put on us by the mainstream media, especially CNN, MSNBC, and even Fox News, where people are afraid that they're going to die going to the grocery store when the coronavirus is not that much more deadly than the seasonal flu, by and large, unless you're an older person. Excuse me, I have a coronavirus cough. I coughed into my elbow just now. I just want you to know I did not cough in my hand like Joe Biden. But this grocery store worker at Instacart that was quoted in this article says, basically, I'm playing Russian roulette every time I go out there, every time I shop, every time I come into a grocery store. That's an employee from Instacart. And you can't blame this employee necessarily, because anybody who's watching the news has got to be very afraid from what they see. And no one's immune to it. You know, you see the panic and you see the way people react. And if it doesn't rub off on you, I don't know, you're not human. I can say that I've personally had not been very afraid of coronavirus until seeing the panic in my community. And it has an impact. It really does. But I think we need to all stay rational about this and stay level-headed. Take precautions, but not throw our civil liberties out the window, and not threaten to go on strike either, back to the point of the story, when, you know, these workers really are the heroes on the front lines right now. And many of them are performing heroically. Most of them are not threatening to go on strike. So what's your thought on that? Are they okay to go on strike, or maybe should they wait until this national crisis is over?
Kingston Country. You've been listening to the Dan Kingston Podcast.